It's coming. Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show, special Hollywood edition. Hollywood. Sorry. Halloween. Ah, yeah, right on, Goldie. Special Halloween edition. And please, everyone, help me warmly welcome, and I mean warmly welcome, the enchanting Janine Kimmel, who's here without power tonight, but she is here. So welcome to the show, Janine.
Thank you, Goldie. Hi, everybody.
Yeah,
on Halloween, and we didn't do the show Monday night because it's when Hurricane Sandy hit New Jersey, where I am just, maybe a mile from the ocean, and I'm on a creek that came up about 12 feet more than it usually, and the winds were wild, and I was with my family and a friend I brought over, so she wasn't alone. And it was a really long, crazy night. And now I live in a really old farmhouse that is so sturdy and great. And we're surrounded by downed trees. Big trees came down all around us. But we're fine. And there's no heat and no light, so I'm here under the covers with a candle and little cat named Blackie sitting here with me. And the family's downstairs with the fire going. And been making food on the great Coleman stove, which is incredible. Thanks to Coleman. They're fabulous. And
maybe that's what we should have as a sponsor.
I know, when it comes to like camping equipment, boy, do I recommend like having a Coleman stove and a Coleman lantern. I just made, people were in awe. They were like, well, let's use everything we have tonight, you know, and you don't want it to go bad. So I made an amazing dinner on a Coleman stove. And
there you go, right on.
It was like gourmet dining, and it was fun. And, you know, it is kind of interesting because, yeah, the storm was pretty, really strong. I mean, there were times when the wind was sustained probably at 80, 85 miles an hour, and, you know, it was pitch black out, so you couldn't see, and you just knew. You were like, oh, okay, and you held your breath a little bit while the wind was raging. And then, but, you know, we did well, and I don't know, there's something about, well, it's interesting that New Jersey got hit, because usually New Jersey and New York kind of skate, you know, and this time New Jersey just got hit in the ocean.
But it literally took a left into Jersey like it had a reservation.
Exactly. It was like, there's Jersey, boom. And but, you know, the Jersey people, they're good. And, I mean, you know, you learn to live like what it's like to not have power and come together and, you know, just be sensitive, you know. And so... And it is interesting because, so we didn't do the show Monday night, obviously, and then, but here we are in Halloween, and
I know.
It's kind of strange to have a hurricane so close to Halloween. You know, it's unusual.
Two years in a row, I've lived in New Jersey,
you know, pretty much all my life, born here, and you know, you think of hurricanes as like a end of August, September kind of thing.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, so this is very, just strangely late, but it is what it is. And, you know, Goldie was mentioning to me right before we went on that it is interesting that with no power in any of the lines going up and down the streets, there is a certain, it reminded me to be very aware of what it's like to have none of those power grids running up and down your streets kind of boxing everybody in. So I think that there, like, I'll tell you, at this house here, there is a really good vibe. You know, it's
right on.
So but I do know that we're very natural at the camping thing, so there might be a good vibe anyway, even if the power, you know, but
yeah, totally, but, of course,
right.
I think it's just enhancing the ability to go within. And not just go within, but, you know, for the people who have been listening, you know, on a weekly basis, at one point we talked about the electricity, literally the wires that you know, go around all our streets. We talked about it as the awareness of, it's kind of like a conscious dog fence, you know, where consciousness hits the frequency of that electricity, which, and literally keeps it, it's a ceiling of some sort. Now, I'm not saying we can't go beyond it, but for the average, you know, the average person, they reach that ceiling and they don't go beyond it. And so it's an interesting thing to have wind and water, which are truly elements of transformation. Of course, all the elements are transformation. So is fire. So is earth and ether.
Yeah.
But to have, you know, all the water coming through and the wind coming through at a time where, I mean, let's be real. It cracks me up. In Connecticut, quote unquote, they canceled Halloween.
Here too, the governor said no Halloween tonight.
But yeah, whoever said it, somebody in the government said. And
here
I laughed
said,
and went, Oh, you canceled the thinning of the veils for the next 4 days?
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, I hate to inform you, but you don't cancel Halloween. You might cancel trick-or-treating, but you have not canceled Halloween.
No, exactly.
Because it's a stream of consciousness. It's a thinning of the veils. It's where Halloween originally came from. So what they're really canceling is the commercial side of Halloween, but by golly, the whole metaphysical, pagan, you know, mm-hmm. true energies, because of the water, the wind, and the lack of electricity as a grid,
mm-hmm.
the potential for everyone that was affected during this hurricane for greater awareness and understanding is available, you know,
yeah.
in truckloads. Trick or treat, man. There's lots of treats going out there.
No, it's really good because, you know, like just, you know, the windows, you look out and there's just pitch black. And, you know, that's unusual. No cars going by. Very, very quiet. And just the sound, I can hear the fire crackling downstairs. But it does really put you in a different, there is a very different, you know, the neighborhoods are different. They're just all black and there's a quietness and there's, you know, people are, you know, in some ways and in a good way, you know, the wind and the water, it's very humbling.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, you just, maybe you just, you know, it's like a rethinking kind of thing or, you know, so. Yeah, I'm going to pay more attention to the fact that all those grids are down, you know?
Right on, like, babe.
Yeah, so.
Right on.
But, yeah, the thinning of the veils, that's for surely can't be canceled.
No. I'm telling you, it's all over me today.
Right.
You know, it's so funny
And I think it has been, don't you? Like, you've been telling me stories that started last week. And they sounded like the thinning of the veils were already going on.
Absolutely. Well, and that's where I think, you know, well, I don't, one of my theories right now that I'm just kind of throwing around with Janine is that, you know, because, you know, it's so funny, they tracked Sandy, you know, from below Florida all the way up, and somebody said it to me recently, they were like, they tracked it, and they said, it will make a left turn between Delaware and Jersey. Which is, you know, I'm always, you know, I'm like, okay, maybe there's a jet stream. I'm not quite sure whether people, you know their stuff. But I found it interesting, 2 years in a row, around Halloween, you know, they've got us scrambling, you know, well, the weather has us scrambling, not they. The weather has us scrambling. So on some level, you know, there is a distraction. The ultimate distraction is, you know, put us in the state of survival. All conscious workers say, you know, part of the issue is, you know, with the third world countries is because they don't get out of survival mode, it's very hard for them to have expanded conscious experiences because they're either starving or, you know, they're not sheltered or, you know, their body needs need to be cared for, you know, they in order to get to the next level, which is, you know, to go within and have an expanded awareness. Even though I'm sure it's still happening anyways, you know, somehow I just get the feeling there's no stopping it now. But I just found it curious that 2 years in a row, quote-unquote, they canceled Halloween. And we had storms.
Yeah.
You know, these, you know, you just look at that and go, that never happened before. You know, like you were saying, we'd get the hurricanes, you know, in September and October, August and September.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, the beauty of all this is, you know, throw these thoughts around, but in my humble opinion, you know, nothing needs to stick in the sense of I don't need to know whether it was orchestrated by man or nature.
Right.
But I can tell you that, you know, absolutely, since last week, well, for me, since October has hit, there has been a significant shift in my awareness. And, like, this is happening in such a way that I'm finding, like, I had three significant conversations this week. I had one with a 9-year-old girl, one with a 79-year-old woman, and one with a 27-year-old girl. And what is truly fascinating in all three of these conversations, they ultimately were simply sharing with me exactly where they are today, but all three of them had a level of confusion that where they are, like the little girl knows herself to be all of nature, The 79-year-old woman knows herself to be communicating with her dead husband. And the 27-year-old knows herself to be feeling old, and her body is very challenged. And literally, in all three of these divine conversations, I from all the truth that I know, acknowledged all three of these beings. And it's funny, I just realized all three of them were female. All three of these girls, women, with the idea that they were brilliantly exactly where they were supposed to be. And what was so, I mean, truly, truly magical was they all shifted from a state of confusion, a state of feeling out of balance and alone, and I could just sense their energy was kind of, because if we can, I want to talk tonight, Jiang, about being our best friend or our worst enemy. We had spoke about that before, and this, you know, that's stuff I really want, you know, I want this stuff out there. But in these conversations, like I said, where all I did was acknowledge each person's awareness and where they were, and I swear to God, like lotus flowers, they blossomed. I mean, and I can't even say one happened more than the other. It was significant shifts between all three of them. The woman who was speaking to her dead husband happens to be Scott's mom. And what was so amazing is she was calling here and leaving messages. Scott's father, he died 2.5 years ago. So when Scott's mom was calling saying, "Scott, do you remember, you know, what floor Daddy's on? I can't find him at the hospital. And, you know, I know you just left." She was very confused on the time. And I love Scott. Scott just doesn't work the metaphysical. He's not in the realm of belief. He plays with things like ghost hunting and things like that, but it's not a full acceptance. And so he was telling me, you know, my mom's really starting to lose it. You know, she's calling up asking about my dad. And when I saw her phone number on the caller ID, I picked up the phone immediately, and I was like, you know, it's me, Goldie. And she's like, "Hi." And I was like, you know, she was like, "Do you know where my husband is?" And I was like, "Yeah, he's around you." And I just literally shared the way I would share, like I share on the radio, like I share with Janine, like I share with everybody. I was like, you know, it happened to be the day that we spoke was the day of the of Sandy. And I was like, Scott's mom's name is Jeannie. And I was like, "Jeannie, you were married for 51 years. Your husband is around you right now. I mean, we're having a hurricane down here. He can feel that, and he wants to make sure you're okay. And, you know, this is the first time you've ever been alone in your life, you know, ever. He knows that, too." And she's like, "Goldie, I do feel him, and he's communicating with me." I go, "That's beautiful. That's a beautiful experience." She goes, "But they all think I'm crazy." And because you could tell as soon as I acknowledged what she was feeling was real, she was no longer asking for him to be in the hospital. Because it's almost like her mind was going, "I got to bring this subject up, but I've got to try and make it seem like it's normal." And I was like, "You don't have to make anything up." I go, "You're in the house that you spent the 51 years of your marriage. You know, it's obvious he's around you. That's a beautiful thing. Communicate with him. Enjoy him." I go, "Don't look for the outside world to confirm it." I said, "I'm happy to confirm it, but you don't need the outside world to confirm it. You don't need Scott to tell you what floor he's on. You just shut your eyes and you go inside and you have a date with your husband. That's a beautiful, let's go, girl." And she immediately, you could just feel how grounded she became. Grounded. She was like, I mean, she literally was like, "Wow, talking to you just makes me smile." And I'm like, "You know, right on, sister." I was like, I adore you. And I know what you know is true. I go, just because they don't know what's true in the, you know, your family, doesn't make it not true. It just means that's probably not the best people to discuss it with. Just call me. I'll talk to you about you and your husband. And you know, but it was so amazing because it happened in three separate conversations, and I'm going, there was such a, there was such a validation of, you know, I you know how we've been talking about October, there was a shift, and you know Ashley, who is Alana's friend, she was like, I was feeling so bad today. And she's like, you know, because Alana has been talking about me to her and her to me. And I was coming out of the Y, and there's one exit between the Y and Alana's exit. And I saw she had called me on the phone while I was at the Y. So I said, if she picks up before I get to her exit, I had this sense to go to her house today. It was, you know, the same sense that made me watch the eyes on that reptilian video that I posted. It's just intuition. So I called her and I said, if she picks up the phone by the time, you know, I get to the exit and says, yes, come over, I will. And if not, I'll keep going to Scott's. She picked up and I was like, what are you doing? She's like, well, I'm just about to hop in the shower. My friend Ashley's coming over. And I went, okay. I said, I think I'm supposed to meet her. I was like, is it cool if I stop by for a bit? And she's like, of course. And we just had a conversation about, you know, I was showing Alana this reptilian video, which I'll post the link in a bit when Janine is telling a story. And we'll get to that because I do want to talk about the reptilians. It is Halloween. We should be talking about them. Well, we don't should be, but why not? But the conversation, the way you could tell, she came over and she was like, oh, my God, I've heard so much about you. And I looked at Alana and I said, okay, you know, like how – can she handle, you know, looking at, I don't know this girl, so I don't want to show her somebody turning reptilian if she's going to, you know, if she just doesn't want to see that. And Alana's like, I think she can handle it. So we showed her the video. It opened up a dialogue, and she just, her magic was so, like, she was looking me in the eye while I was just sharing, you know, just Goldie stuff, just Goldie being Goldie, sharing the latest, greatest awareness that I've had, you know, at this moment. And her soul was, I could feel it. It was like what was coming out of her eyes was such a presence of, like, I've waited my whole life to hear someone say this. And I know it's the same experience, Janine, I've had when you've confirmed that I'm not doing it wrong or crazy, that I'm in the perfect place for where I am. And I'm really seeing that, you know, it's not about, you know, it's not about bullshitting people, telling them they're in the perfect place. It's about having an expanded awareness that, but you are in the perfect place. And when you tell people that, their souls, I mean, you could see her body relax. She started getting warm. There was, you know, there's a radiance. I can see it. There's this radiance that just comes out when you acknowledge somebody for where they are as opposed to where they believe they're supposed to be or where they believe the society says is okay or not. I mean, because Scott's mom has said to me, she goes, you know, they could put me away for saying this kind of stuff. And I was like, you don't got enough insurance for them to do that. And she start cracking up. You know, I was like, they're not going to put you away.
That's so good.
Not in 2012. I go, but I get it because that's the time you grew up in. That's one of the belief systems they imparted, you know, on people. So now she's at a window where, you know, the veil is thinner, her husband's around, and she's like, but he is around. And I'm like, I know. That's a beautiful thing. He's looking, you know, he's kind of coming in to check in on you because he loves you, you love him, and, you know, we may be dead, but we're not gone. That's what this whole thinning of the veil is all about.
Which is another that right there, he may be dead, but he's not gone, is a, you know, in some ways, the world is so upside down that, you know, we've believed or it's been said to believe that what all these three people, the young girl, the 27-year-old, and then the older lady, you know, all the things that we've been told, they actually cause us stress. Because, you know, you're feeling something much different because the world is upside down, and it's not necessarily the belief that's causing us stress. It's the fact that we've been told it's not true, we're wrong, and when someone hears you and looks at you in your eyes and goes, no, no, that's right. This is exactly right. And, you know, and you feel the shift within them immediately because you've just confirmed the truth that they already knew. But the conflict was and the stress was that it was told that it wasn't true for them. And I think that's, to me, one of the biggest things going on right now in terms of awareness and the gifts we can give people is that, you know, the quote, illnesses and the stresses and the anxieties aren't about what people think about themselves. It's what they've been told, you know, this isn't right about you. And then that
exactly.
So to me, it's the conflict that is causing the problem. And so, yeah, there's that thing where we've bought into, oh, I'm my own worst enemy. And the fact is, no, you're not. And what?
Well, but no, you are until you're because the program has put you to be.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So when you realize you're not, that's when that whole conflict and stress that's pretty much fragmented ourselves.
Yeah, good word. Good word.
You can literally, if you're with a person like you were with the 27-year-old or the younger girl, if you sensed it on the phone, you literally can feel them drop into a much.
I could.
You can, because the fragments start to not be fragments anymore.
Well,
so,
and it's presence. It's their own presence. Oh,
yeah. And you know that thing where, you know, it's almost like when you say, oh, I get it. But you literally can feel a person get it. And
absolutely.
It's like, so that is a profound moment for the person, obviously. And for the person.
Both people.
And for you.
Exactly.
And what's interesting about that is that's truly like right placement. And I love, you know.
Yeah.
These are those moments. Those, like, you know, and what you said to her too was such great advice, where, you know, Scott's not the enemy either, but it's really not right placement. You know, and you kind of have to know, you know. Yeah, so it's kind of cool because right placement is truly amazing. And right placement's happening a lot. And
it is.
You know.
Yeah.
It really
is.
Speak on that.
Any kind of stories to, you know?
Well, I'm just even thinking about myself even here in New Jersey, you know, and the hurricane took a left turn, and I don't know, I just feel like I'm in right placement too, you know. It's like, you know, the ability to hold the space, the ability not to panic, the fact that I know being prepared is very easy for me. Like, I kind of have a head for that, you know. There's not a panic thing for me. And I can't, you know, it's kind of been something all my life. But even my thing about, and I know we'll talk about this maybe, but even my desire to become a labor and delivery nurse.
We should definitely talk about that.
And being a nurse. But being a nurse and then even a labor and delivery nurse, there's such an innate ability for preparedness and calmness in a high, you know, kind of intense place, that for me, I don't know, it just feels like right placement becomes a process that is frequent. And, and that is presence, because you start to feel the right placement of almost everything, you know.
Exactly.
And so there's a flow there, you know, and that is presence. And, you know, and so it's almost, you know, and when you experience this with another individual, like I have with Goldie and I have with other people, and I've obviously been on the other end of that when, I'm getting confirmed on something about myself, and it's like, oh, there it is, you know. And you can feel like, I don't know if it's the soul or if it's just the whole person, you know, just coming into themselves and feeling the right placement of the situation, and that they're okay. You know,
That's
the whole thing. It's like, oh, actually, I'm better than I even imagined. See, that's another thing. Like, all of a sudden, you get this feeling. You're like, wait a minute. This is more amazing than I could have even imagined. You know, and so, and it's happening all the time. Like, even me with the storm on Monday, and, you know, my son went out at like 11 at night and really kind of shouldn't have, but came back in and he goes, Mom, you're not going to believe it out there. He goes, you just can't believe it. He goes, the big cedar tree, the big pine, the big locust, they're all down. Mom, they're, you know, and it's so literally the next day, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, that we're surrounded by trees and power's down and, you know, for everybody, but mine's down really amazing on the ground. And, you know, I kind of gave my guy that is a tree guy a call, and he just happened to pick up a cell phone, and he goes, yeah, I'll be over in a few hours. And, I mean, I don't know if anyone can really appreciate, the neighbors came over and said, you got Mike Flynn here in less than 20 hours. And I'm like, yes. But you know what? This man is got a rapport with trees that's uncanny, and I know he knows I do too, and there's like a kindred spirit between us. And, you know, you could just feel that, you know, it would this like there was just this right placement that he would show up at my house and he would help me. And he was like, I could just feel this guy like scanning the yard and knowing what to do. And my son had never met him before. And he was like, wow. And I was like, I know.
Well, you called him an artist. He was an artist.
I did. He truly is an artist. And, you know, he truly has a synchronicity and a knowing, and you could just feel it. And it's, you know, and so all this right placement's going on, and, you know, people might go, really? Like, you know, a 79-year-old woman's talking to her dead husband and a 9-year-old girl is having a conversation with Goldie and the 27-year-old and then me and this hurricane and, you know, all this supposed devastation around us, and somehow I'm feeling this beautiful synchronicity happening. And, you know, so it's there. It's there if you're open to it, you know, because it really isn't really that anyone listening or anyone not listening, but they don't know that they're actually in right placement if they would just be open to it. And I'll tell you, it's like when the puzzle pieces start clicking, because it's the unawareness and the lack of openness to realize right placement and presence is right there, right now. It's
right
not like
now.
You have to go look
exactly.
for it. You
exactly.
know, so it's not
it's
like,
actually, it's in the profound acceptance
right.
of what is.
Right, and all of a sudden, that's a game changer, you know. That's when it's not really that the world around you changes. It's your perception of the fact that it's right placement, and that's when you change. You know, it's that.
Here, listen. I got to quote the Secretariat. Not Secretariat. What was the movie?
Seabiscuit.
Janine recommended the movie Seabiscuit about the horse. I recommend it to everybody. They don't have it on Amazon Instant, so I ordered the DVD. But there is at the very end of the movie. And I don't want to give away the details. The movie is so heart-based, bawling my eyes out throughout the whole movie. I was so happy Scott was downstairs doing something, because I don't like to cry in front of him. So,
yeah.
Anyways, the last part of the movie, literally, the jockey who had, you know, totally broken his leg and his bones and didn't think he would ever ride again, he actually did ride Seabiscuit one more time. You know, and won this race, and because he knows this horse, like nobody's business. But he goes, you know, the joke is everybody thinks we fixed a broken horse, and it was this horse that came back, you know, to win all these races. But the truth is, the horse healed us.
Yeah.
Every single human that the horse was involved with, whether it was the jockey, the trainer, or the owner,
yeah,
was healed in the presence of this horse. It's so emotional because...
It is, it is.
It's so beautiful. What the awareness is. This is what is available to us in right placements.
And all those could have been missed. Every one of those moments could have been missed, and they, you know, and they weren't in this movie. And it is a true story, so
yeah,
you know, it makes
yeah,
it.
It's exquisite.
But you know, I really relate so much to that beautiful horse and the story, and you know, so yeah,
the underdog. Of course, we relate to the underdog.
Yeah, and just the absolute greatness of, you know, and I just see that, I mean, that greatness is available, you know.
Well, yeah, I got to say, you're triggering me. I got to share one of the lines of the movie.
Yeah.
Just let Seabiscuit look in the eyes of the lead horse, because
uh-huh.
he's not winning through his feet. He's winning through his heart.
Oh, God.
I mean, it was like, you know, and when you watch him, Seabiscuit literally went into this, he would kick it up a notch and just go into a speed that was, you know, reminds me of, you know, the same thing when me and Alana are driving down the road, you know, in second gear being chased by 13 cars. And trust me when I tell you, the laws of physics were being broken all over the place, because it's not based on the third dimension. It wasn't his feet that let him win those races. It was Seabiscuit had been beat up badly and then had found people that understood him from the whisperer's point of view, the soul's point of view.
Accepted him and loved him.
And invested and loved in him. And Seabiscuit was like, God damn it, I can win anything. Just let me see the eye of the arrogance of the horse that thinks it's going to beat me. And it's all incorporated in the story. I just can't recommend the movie enough, you know, to clear out the pipes, to cry, to laugh.
Yeah, it is a healing film. And it's an encouraging film.
Right on.
Encouraging. And so, you know, it's so funny because that and Secretariat, those two horses in particular, and I'm not saying that not every horse could be a Secretariat and a Seabiscuit, because maybe they really are just like us, you know, but there was something about them where, you know, they reached this extraordinary place, and I do think it was because of they were just filled with this heart of you know, extraordinary. And but, you know, it's funny because I relate to the horse, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so what? It's amazing because when I watch Seabiscuit or Secretariat, there's something the horse gives me in these movies where I feel like I'm so capable of my own extraordinariness in the simple and the ordinary, you know, not the celebrity thing, it's just this presence or this, you know, heart of a champion, or
totally.
A responsiveness, you know. So yeah, so they're beautiful films. They really are. And
right on. Well, I haven't seen Secretariat yet.
Well, Seabiscuit came out of a much more difficult past, and
right.
but Secretariat was so deeply loved by his by the woman who believed in him, and then
okay.
so many others, just like Seabiscuit. So they're, you know, these are just beautiful stories that, you know, could be any one of us and with any one of us. You know, we don't have, you know, you could be Seabiscuit and I could be Seabiscuit, and, you know, all we need is someone to love us and believe in us, and we're like, really? I'm worthy, aren't I? And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, right on. Right on.
You know? And it's like,
well,
oh,
again,
man.
Coming back to the be our own best friend, not our own worst enemy. Cause,
absolutely.
You know, I want to share a story, too, because it was really interesting. I've been writing stuff down. I was speaking to a friend of mine, and it was so interesting because, you know, the big thing today, I see it a lot on the shares in Facebook, where people don't want to own the truth. You know, it's very much, you know, subjective truth.
Mm.
So a lot of people share and go, well, you know, well, this is my truth. And you know, I clearly get it that, you know, there is a subjective reality that is happening, you know, within, we're creators. Of course there's a subjective reality. But, and this is, you know, baby got back kind of but, there's also a universal truth. And this is what I found that was so interesting. Anybody who's read or listened to George Kavassalis' book, it's such an eye-opener. Now, I deeply resonate with George's explanation of how we come into, how we came into this universe. And, you know, he describes the universe as universe. This is one being's experience, one being's universe of light. And my soul, by the lore of attraction, the L-O-R-E, not the L-A-W, but the lore of attraction, said, we're going to go into this being's universe. We're going to, we being me and my soul, which, you know, ultimately is just me, I'm coming into this universe. I'm going to acclimate to this being's, to the rules and the regulation of the essence of who he is, which is light. I'm going to learn how to become a creator of it. And how do we become a creator of it? We experience it from every angle and dimension. So we come in at the 12th dimension, and we start projecting ourselves lower and lower and lower and lower until we get to the first dimension,
right,
which is a very dark dimension. The first and the second, George says in the book, which I totally resonate with, first and second are not the crystals and the plant dimensions. The second dimension and the first dimension are where the beings who have little to no morals, they're basically just energy-sucking, consuming beings because they're in such a state of separation from the core of who they are that's what you become when you become that separated. It's almost like an amoeba. You just feed. He goes, they're not even really physical. They're really very much energetics. And all they do is feed. They don't care about anything except getting their feeding. He goes, but, and he said, you can forget yourself down there because it would take a tremendous shift in energy to awaken from that level of separation. Mm. But here's the but, again, a big but. But when you do, the level of wisdom that you have because you went to that depth,
yeah,
of separation is great. It's tremendous. In fact, this is how great it is. You're now ready to come back through the dimensions, meaning come back up, gather the pieces that you have separated from yourself, and you're ready to birth yourself as you are a master of this light. You have been through every dimension, starting from the 12th, going down to the first. You've experienced the darkest of the dark, the lightest of the light. You're going to bring all that wisdom back together, and you're going to be birthed as a creator. And there, in my humble opinion, there really are plenty of us that are doing this. Now, as I shared that information, that I didn't share it as, because my friend said to me when I shared that, he goes, okay, well, that's your belief. And I went, no, that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that it triggered a statement of, you ever hear the statement, the cliche or whatever, that says, the minute you think you know everything, you don't know anything, or something to that effect?
Yeah, I've heard very similar, you know.
Right,
you know,
where,
yeah.
It totally struck me because he said, you know, the minute you think you know everything, you don't know anything. And I said, okay, well, first of all, I never said I know everything. I don't know the ingredients to a lemon meringue pie. I'm not claiming to know the ingredients.
Right,
I don't know
right.
how to fix a carburetor on a car. It's so funny how my friend immediately grouped me into, you think you know everything, because I was claiming to know the God information. That's what the trigger was. The trigger was I was not only claiming to know the God information, I was claiming it to be the truth for him as well. And it, I could tell all his defenses came up in the conversation, and I laughed because I go, the conditioning is the minute people start claiming that they know what's going on from a spiritual point of view, a creator point of view, the triggers around is that the ridicule starts, the shutting down of people immediately go, you can't say that that's the truth for me. And it's like, I can say it. You don't have to believe it.
Right.
But
I
can say it. And in my confidence of knowing it, here were some insights that I got throughout the week because I do know myself to be projecting myself. How do I know this about myself? Because I've started the process of coming back up. And I've started the process of integrating very painful parts of myself from a space of, I don't integrate them. I was talking to Janine, actually this was before Sandy. I was talking to Janine going, you know, I see this all the time where the people on Facebook are, you know, I'm just going to be kind of blunt, where the people on Facebook are babbling all about the love. You know, the response should only be love. You should only respond in love. You shouldn't respond in any kind of anger. And if you're responding in anger, you're doing it wrong. And I said to Janine, you know, we don't even know what the hell real love is. You know, I'm just still coming up from the first, second, and third dimension in the sense that's the pieces I've been integrating back into my being. I can promise you we don't know love as the divine feminine, unconditional, completely compassionate awareness that all of this has purpose. You don't know that as we go into the darker, as we go into the more dense dimensions. That's why it's so dangerous to go into those things, because you can get lost for a very, very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start coming back up,
yeah.
Okay, now, well, that's a game changer, because I have not connected totally with my fifth dimensional being, but I can tell you the pieces that are coming back to me, what I know, I'm very confident in what I know. And in all honesty, I'm not here to convince any of you guys.
Right.
I don't need to convince any of you guys, because if your journey is to continue to play in the third dimension because you haven't let yourself drop into the first and the second dimension yet, well, then you're still going down in the sense of you're still dropping and projecting yourself into these lower dimensions. So that means the information I'm getting is about the people that are, you know, starting to gather the pieces back up. There's a timing issue here. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about you're not going to resonate with the timing of picking up the pieces when you're still going through a preparation of separation. And I know that. I don't care if you know that. Again, I don't care what you guys know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do know, don't be afraid to share that you know.
Yeah.
Because in the knowing, the people who are picking up their pieces immediately go, wow. It's so funny because there's a resonance that I'm telling you, I can feel it as, it's like having a whole puzzle done and it's missing one piece in the middle, and for whatever the reason, they can't see the picture. And you just place one puzzle piece and this whole thing clicks and they're like, oh, look at that. And so I find it kind of interesting because, like I said, I have a confidence about quote-unquote some of these God-like qualities. You know, I have a knowing. I don't know where this knowing comes from, in all honesty, and I'm not here to, you know, to try and make a claim. It comes through me, and I don't know, you know, it comes through me from me, but I don't even care where it comes through. I know that the gods of all religions – are basically, and this is just through my awareness, this is how I came up with this. The gods of all religion are literally all about taking our power away.
Mm-hmm.
Because anytime you're, anytime you're calling in anything other than yourself, and I'm talking about archangels, galactics, gods, deities, anything you want, you know, even the animal kingdom, for God's sake. Anytime you're calling in anything to come and assist you, in my humble opinion, is giving your power away. Now here's the paradox. Here's the paradox. If you like, my name is Golden Hawk. I know I have hawk in me. I don't call a hawk outside of me. When the hawks show up outside of me, I'm not telling you that I don't get tickled by that. But I'm not calling them, going, show up for me so I know that this is the right move.
Mm-hmm.
But I will connect with the hawk in me when I need to know it's time to fly solo, Goldie. It's time for you to not worry about the rest of the, you know, the rest of the flock, what they think of you. So go into hawk mode. When it's time for me to kind of zero in on, you know, there are times I don't even know why this happens, but there are times I find people on Facebook, and it's like I'm sitting in the treetops and I'm watching them spew this disinformation. It's just all crap. And I just come into my hawk and I just dive down at them, not literally, but literally, like on their Facebook page, and go, you know, I respectfully disagree. And, you know, I begin the dialogue of, okay, if you're going to say that, we'll back it up.
That's a good, I like that picture. Yeah, no, it's true though. I see that very well. Like, you know, you're sitting up there on your treetop, and it's like, and you know, and it is a confidence that can challenge and test people. But I love that, because that's good, because you know, first of all, false humility isn't really very productive. It really is meaningless. You know,
is meaningless?
False humility.
Oh, false. Okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and there is a time when you want to stand behind what, you know, either you know or you don't know, and it's time to stand behind it. And I was just thinking, as you
Absolutely.
Were talking, about really any initiation process
okay.
is never about, I kind of think so, or a wishy-washiness. An initiation
right.
is an act of confidence and knowing. And, you know, so really, I believe that we're all in our own self-initiating, you know, coming down the compression, going back up again. You know, these are all initiation processes in order to, you know, complete these cycles and you know, come out of this universe and move on. But, you know,
right.
we've chosen this. So there is a time, and, you know, people can all ask themselves, you know, what, like the person you were talking to, or, you know, but there is a time when you stand behind yourself and you stop using false humility and you become knowing. You know, you literally put yourself, you know, in that position, because not knowing and the false humility place and the, well, you know,
keeping it small.
Yeah, it's really, you know, it's diminishing. It's unproductive, really. I mean, you know, from a practical point of view, and I guess, you know, it's ironic that I'm probably pretty practical, because I do believe that you come into a place of knowing, and somehow that seems very productive to me, you know. So,
well, especially in October, almost November, 2012.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, yeah. And
a time to be productively knowing,
yeah,
you know. Because, you know, and it makes me laugh, because I go, you know, when people study cars, you know, if you study cars for over 20 years, you look and they go, this person probably knows what they're talking about, right? I
exactly.
mean, you fix cars, you drove cars, you crash cars, you built
right,
cars,
right.
you took them apart. Well, you know, my focus has been consciousness and human behavior. And, of course, human behavior has led me to the metaphysical behavior.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been doing this from a conscious point of view for 17 years. I mean, like I said, I don't know everything. I'm not claiming to know everything. But I do know consciousness, and do I know it all the way through? Of course not. But I'm, you know, at 30, I asked the universe. I posed a question to the universe and said, "I want to know how the universe works." I mean, that was a question I posed, and you'd be amazed that if you pose those kind of questions, no matter how long it takes, you'll get the answers.
Well,
you will.
Yeah, you know,
ask David Icke. He posed questions like that too.
Well, you know, it's funny because what ends up happening is, you know, we've all been on both sides of this, so that's why we, you know, you can talk about it, because what ends up happening is when someone knows, and if that is a trigger for someone,
right.
You know, it is truly, quote, the dead giveaway as to what where their work is, and it's
right.
kind of like you've given them a gift if they choose to receive it, because they're just on the other side of claiming what they know, and yet they're holding back. And, you know, it's time really not to hold back. It is the Seabiscuit moment. It is the courageous heart. It is time. You know, it's just
right.
enough.
Right.
It's enough. You know, it's like it's time to claim your knowing. And it's like, and if you're
exactly.
uncomfortable with that, and you know, I like this part. If you're uncomfortable with that, tough. Do it anyway. You know,
well,
that's
because
really...
it's part of the game. It's part of the game. Because it
right.
almost seems like at this point, to make the claim that you know, it's so funny. You know, a couple of days ago, last week, I get the hit in the woods, go join the YMCA, right? I literally get a hit. I needed to submerge myself in warm water. And if it could be, you know, a whirlpool of some kind or a jacuzzi, even more the better. But it was important
right.
for me to be, because I initially was thinking, oh, it's the pool that I'm gonna affiliate myself with there. So, you know, I kind of run this idea by my dad because he already goes to the Y and swims, you know, like two or three times a week.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be quite honest, the first thing out of his mouth was, well, secure a job first, you know, because I told him it costs $450. And he goes, that's a little much. Secure a job first. You can't afford it. You know, and you know, I went, you know, back into my computer room and I'm sitting there thinking and, you know, and I went, you know, no offense, but fuck you. It's my money. I have this money and, you know, I'm saving money for a rainy day. And yes, I would like to, I had some issues with my car about 2 months ago. I was able to drop $500 in cash in my father's hand and I haven't been working because I do have money that I save for a rainy day, and my father taught me to do that, and it's beautiful. But I'll be honest with you, the hit came to me, you need to be in the sacred waters, and I just kind of knew in my heart, I was like, this is something I need to do. Now, and here's the beauty part of it. Okay, so I go to the Y, and I decided to, before I dropped $450 for a whole year, because I've been known to join a gym or two, and you know, you go for 3 weeks and then you're paying for the rest of the other 11 months, but you haven't seen
right,
the inside
right.
of it, you know. I was like, let me just pay for a month, make sure that this is, you know, really, you know, don't drop. I don't have $450 to drop, you know, recklessly. So the first day that I signed up, I went, I sat in the whirlpool. I swear to God, this is an industrial whirlpool. So it literally shakes my body like I'm on a roller coaster ride when I sit against this one particular jet stream. And I swear to God, being in the warm water with the bubbles, I shut my eyes and I am traveling all over the galaxy. There is no joke about this. It is nurturing my galactic awareness like nobody's business. And of course, I'm actually doing a meditative space where I really do understand, just from being in nature for the last 10 years, water is conscious. And not only is water conscious, the water can be activated similar to our DNA being activated. It's simply in the gratitude. When I'm in the water, I am so grateful that at this point in my life, like literally on these days, my office, the work that I do is I go to the YMCA and I sit for 15 minutes in the whirlpool, and I'm doing my galactic work. You know, this is, it's not just about, you know, feeling I'm better than everybody and here I am, you know, in the elitist. It's like, because what I've been doing is I'm grateful to the water, and I'm like, let's activate the magic, not only in the water that's kind of pummeling me in a very magical way, but the water inside of my body. You know, we're made up of 70% water. So I'm like, wow, the water from the outside can talk to the water from the inside. And in the movement of it, it is literally, it's activating and or releasing wisdom for what is coming down the pike. And, you know, again, I'm getting, it's totally, it's the birthing process. The pressure that we're feeling is all about the zero point, and I posted it on my wall. Two amazing videos. There's about 5 hours worth of information about the zero point, which is the point where we will birth ourselves from the third and fourth dimension, the first, second, third, and fourth, into the fifth. That's how we're going to get through the huge void that's in between the fourth dimension and the fifth dimension. The compression through the zero point is almost like the momentum needed to get through that membrane from the fourth dimension to the fifth dimension, because that's the way it's been hitting me lately that the creator of this experience, the universe, the being that is, that we're all in and we're acclimating to, he set it up that when it was time to graduate, for those after they went through the whole, you know, down to the first dimension and they're starting to rise up and pick up their pieces, there needed to be it's just like George said with the awakening in the first dimension, we need a tremendous amount of energy to get us from the fourth to the fifth. Mm. Because the fourth dimension is filled with such a radical difference in duality than the fifth dimension.
Mm.
It can't be, you don't want the fourth dimensional processes to get up to the fifth dimension, but the truth is it's been designed so it can't. So when you think of that, then you start going, wow, the compression and the sheer, you know, you think of it like from if you pulled back a slingshot. You know, the further, the more torque you get, the more tension.
Yeah.
And then when you let it go, bing, it goes that much further. Well, that's what this compression is. This is the compression and the momentum that will get us through that fourth dimensional, between the fourth and the fifth dimensional, the void. And so then all of a sudden, you know, you start looking at the pressure and the, you know, the compression that we're all feeling, because we're all feeling it emotionally, physically, which is, again, why I'm so grateful every time I get out of the water at the Y. My back, I mean, I put my arms up to it, my neck and my shoulders, and just for a moment, because of the nature of how the water moves on my muscles and my spine, I'm not tight. I don't feel like I'm 190 years old. Mm. And I mean, it doesn't even last. I mean, I can tell you it's already starting to get tight. And I was there this afternoon. But it just to have the release for just a moment, you know, it's nice because it just seems like it's the nurturing of, because we're going to get even more tighter. You know, I was telling Ashley and Alana today, the zero point is literally where the entire cosmos is being compressed down to, you know, the space, the size of, you know, for lack of a better word, we'll just say the space the size of an atom. I mean, when you think of that from the physics point of view, we're going to get really tight here. but let's be honest with each other. We're tight now.
But, you know, it's so funny. Yeah, it's all relative. No, it's all relative because, you know, what does that mean? I mean, I agree with that's, you know, we're being compressed down to an atom, but the interesting thing is like, you know, in perspective, I don't know, maybe we're already at the size of an atom and we don't even, like, you know, you don't even realize it, because
that
I just think, right? I just think that we're so much in the process of this
mm-hmm.
that we're further down the rabbit hole, so to speak, than you even know. And, you know, and I really do. And I think that, you know, there's an irony there, because, like, when you just said that, I'm like, how do we know we're not already, like, the size of, in you know, of an atom? And we think we're all this giant, big universe, like, you know.
Well,
and
we're
going,
both. And we are.
We're probably this little atom within an atom within an atom within an atom. And, you know,
right.
so you know, I all of a sudden I just got that perspective. I'm like, you know, our sense of proportion, I think, is really, you know, you can really think.
I agree.
You can really think about that and go,
yeah.
what is our sense of proportion? You know, I mean, we go from, because the irony is we went from thinking, well, we're the only ones here, of course, and that's ridiculous.
Right.
And this is the answer to what the universe is. And go, you know, read the school books, kids, and that is ridiculous. You know,
yeah.
All the explanations are ridiculous. And I listen to George's and I'm like, this is, you know, you just get the sense of, like, this stuff is amazing. You know, and it explains it in a way that, you know, it so much takes what you've been told all your life, and then you just feel the repositioning of what, you know, of what is true. And
right.
And it's an amazing process, really, because in any given moment, I can have one of those moments where you just say, and we're going to become the size of an atom. And I'm going, how do we know we're not that now? I mean, because what are we going on?
I don't think we're that now, because then we would have birthed ourselves. And
okay, but or even
that's
being
not close to say
to
we
that.
Don't have a piece of us in the fifth dimension. Like,
right, or
it's
or
us
even
meeting
being,
us. So right, but
yeah,
I don't think we're there yet. That's just
okay. But even being close to that, you know, it's like,
we're definitely close to that.
Yeah, and I just think these
because
are such.
I don't think we're going to become the incredibly shrinking people. I don't think this is going to be 100
no,
years of us becoming,
no.
you know, microscopic.
Yeah.
I think
right.
you know, all you have to do is look at the supernovas. Because that is us. And I'll tell you, in a supernova,
yeah.
it'll be in this it'll be in this space where I guess before a star collapses, something happens where it actually, the outer core expands first. And it'll stay like that for like 2-3 million years, I guess, depending on the size of the star. And then all of a sudden, and this is why they're so hard to capture on film or anything, because there's no rhyme or reason, per se, to our wisdom when they happen. And then all of a sudden, bam, they drop. And a star that was like, you know, 300 million times the size of our sun becomes
yeah.
the size of Earth. Like, in it's so compact. It's so
yeah,
dense.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so it's amazing. It's like similar to before we go into an ice age, we tend to go into global warming. So
yeah.
first we get hot, then we go into an ice age. There's a lot of the polarity things going on. So, you know.
Well, you know what else, too, because I was just thinking?
Mm.
You know how George says, because when we were on the phone with him and he said, and this stuff is fun for me, but this has already actually happened in some way. So, like it's already, and so I think sometimes what I tap into is the part that's already happened. And, you know, it's almost like that's why I'm going, well, in many respects, because he talks like that, like it's already happened to us, but
well, because time is not linear. Right. Time
exactly.
is circular.
So,
yeah.
so these kinds of things for me are, they're, it's just very similar to when you go, and I'm a hawk and I'm up on the tree. And when I see these things being said and I swoop down and I'm like, it's the same kind of moment for me when you're talking and I'm like, you know, it's almost like maybe a piece of me just tapped into like the future of it that's already occurred. And now.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like back here talking to you, but for a moment it was like the part of you that already knows that the compression and the atom part has happened, and you know, because it just felt that way. It was like, ah.
Well, see, you know, and this is the beauty of what I say. See, because like that hasn't been my experience in the sense that. I'm having other awarenesses. I love it.
Yeah.
You have the awarenesses of time because I love it. So you bring time awareness, to our lovely, group. And, I might bring the awareness that the compression is a piece of the puzzle, that it's a good piece. And, and Simon will bring his piece and Dennis will bring his piece and Susan will bring her piece. It's like, if we look at it, because I don't claim to know what I don't know. You know, when you ask me, are we already there? And I've had people ask me that, and I'm going, I don't experience it that way. So
for
me, I can only be where I am, and where I am, I know that I do have a sense that I know this compression is coming. It's funny, because as you come into, you bring your knowingness of this time is circular, it just helps me feel confident that even though I don't have it from an experiential point of view, I can rely on it because, well, first of all, I trust your wisdom.
Right.
And because it makes me think like, well, how do you know, Goldie? And it's like, well, son of a bitch, I don't know how I know because I don't have this time thing down.
if time isn't linear, because the linear time is truly a man-made structure.
Totally. Artificial at its finest.
Right. It's a man-made structure. Because the other day, this is funny, I woke up and it said, I guess it's pre-storm, but I woke up and it said 4:44. It was on my iPhone, which I'm using right now. So, but I looked and it said 4:44, and I went, "Oh, that's so man-made."
I love it.
I was like, "Oh, this is such a man-made thing." I was like, 4:44. What does that mean? I knew what it meant, obviously, but it just seemed so man-made to me.
Right on. See, I think that's what I would call one of the programs that there's a lot of people looking at the triple numbers as this is the sign.
But I don't even mean that it could have said 4:47. It wasn't that it was 4:44. It was just time itself. It was literally struck me right there when I looked at the clock in the pitch black of the night. It came to me. I was like, it's so man-made, It was just funny. It was a funny moment to see the numbers of a time thinking, well, so we made up this idea of how to measure what, So that's the funny thing, because look around that. You can look around the fact that we made up this way of making this time thing. If you can look around the time thing, all of a sudden you start to see beyond the linear time thing. And that's that is the little girl knowing she's Mother Earth nature. That's mom knowing she's talking to her husband. And that's me knowing time is a man-made thing, and if you can look around that, you can have a lot of fun knowing that there's a lot more than this linear time thing, Right, and so here, another thing is, it's funny, because this could be a familiar thing, meaning in family, because my great aunt used to kind of know the future, and because of this Irish kind of taboo Catholic thing, she was forbidden to talk about it. Mm. And when my son was little, one of my sons, he used to go, "Mom, that time thing is happening again to me." That's all right. Don't worry about it. He used to have these moments where the time, there was just this whole experience with time. And
I'm assuming it's some kind of deja vu. Like he's familiar that it's,
It took deja vu and went even further.
I believe, right.
Because he described it, and I said, he used to say it frequently to me, and he was a little boy. He was like six, seven, eight, and I would go, it's perfectly normal. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Because you go, Mom, that time thing's happening. And I could almost see it with him. And you know, and that's, it's interesting because I really, you know, that I could have said, but nobody was in the room with me. Well, oh, maybe they were. But, you know, if I looked at the clock and went, hey, that time thing's happening again. You know, it's like, there it is. There's that man-made time thing. And then yeah. there's the George Kavassalis, it's already happened, time is linear. You know, there's a lot more going on, guys, than you think. Because
well, and I think it's important to bring up that there's a lot of people that are in the war between the artificial and the organic. You know, in
right.
other words, you know, it's a war against the elites. It's a war against the reptilians. It's a war against whoever.
Right.
And, you know, one of the, because I will say with some confidence that I have had plenty of experience beyond time where when I'm in the woods, when I'm doing several things, I just can sense that, like, you know, I'll be honest, when I'm in that whirlpool, I can't believe I set the timer at 10 minutes because I swear to God, I feel like I'm in it for 4 hours. It's just a very,
yeah,
it's a malleable situation that it's not about clocks anymore. It's because,
hey, well, Goldie, there's that time thing.
And the reason why I want to say this though is that,
yeah.
The wisdom that has come from garnished from being able to go beyond the time thing is
yeah.
to understand that everything artificial will serve the organic. Have no fear that the organic will trump the, that the
right,
artificial
or,
will
right.
trump
that's
the organic.
Point.
It won't. And
right.
that's why it
so
really comes
where,
down to.
That's where the power doesn't get lost then because
at
you're
all.
Right. Right.
At all.
That's a really,
right.
really, really good point. Really good
But yeah. here's the point. Listen, if your journey is to be part of the artificial, you're going to see it as, those people will see it as the artificial trumping the organic. Because, see, the thing about the soul is that it like, what's so fascinating to me is, like, when I posted the video on my wall about this Panache Desai watching his eyes turn into reptilians, which had, you know, David Icke didn't point me to this video. This is one of Lilu's videos. And it was so funny because I could feel it in my gut. It was like, look at his eyes, Goldie. And I was like, huh. And 12 minutes in, it was like, bam, you know, 12 minutes, 43 seconds, his eyes went to reptilian. I went, oh, no wonder why I'm supposed to be here today. Look, you know, and I'll be honest with you, when I first saw his eyes do that, I literally jumped out of my computer chair and went, oh, shit, like, there it is. You know, like, it definitely, you know, it's sticky, but I'm not afraid. All right, I'm looking at it, and I'm posting it. But I had a stream of thought, and I just lost it.
Well, is it about the artificial versus the organic, and then if that's your thing with the, you know...
The souls. Yes. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Right on. Thank you. So what I tend to see is that, you know, there were people that commented, and they were like, listen, this is just, it's the audio breaking up. And I'm going to myself, I am not going to have an argument with this person and go, you know, are you blind? The reptilian, I mean, I can see it clearly. The eyes literally become gold. This gentleman is Indian, and he has black pupils and black, you know, dark brown, black eyes. And when they shifted, they went gold, and the thing was upright instead of a circle. And I said to myself, though, you can't make a person see what their soul – see, I'm not in control of their awareness. They are.
Right, right.
I can introduce the potential splinter, so to speak, that could make them start scratching their head and go, what's that about? But if their soul is, you know, keeping them – because – we're not in a haze because these reptilians choose us to be in a haze. We're in a haze because our soul is going, I want to experience this haze. Thank you, reptilians, for keeping me here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the minute our souls want this game to be over, the game is over. The soul, in my humble opinion, I said this to Ashley today, based on the movie of The Matrix.
Yeah.
I go, you know, really consider it like this. You're jacked in right now. But so your being is being created from the being that's jacked in. And they're the ones determining this experience, not the personality down here. This is just the person in the matrix. But the one determining what's going on is the one that's in the chair with the, with, you know, with the 6 foot thing going through the back of its skull.
Yeah.
You know, and I was I go, but so there's some level of, so, you know, just get into alignment with that being, and you're good. You know, because, you know, again, we've just started to having the discussions about, you know, the pain. You know, well, there's so much pain, and I was like, well, what? What's your definition of pain? You know, something you're trying to avoid, or
I was going to say, and what you just explained is there is no wrong placement,
exactly.
You know, and maybe that where the stress and the conflict comes in is when we are convince ourselves that this is all wrong placement and that it shouldn't be this way, and then you know
exactly,
and, then,
and we're fighting
the whole
glam system, and it's like don't fight it because. If you align with it, it totally hit me today that I love adventures. You know, because somebody had wrote, I basically wrote, I'm going to the Y to go play in the Stargate. I'll be back in a few hours. And somebody wrote underneath, that's a Stargate. You might be gone for a million years. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, the more the better. Like, you know, if that's the case, you know, if the world swallows me up and takes me down to, you know, Andromeda, I don't know what, meaning, so then bring it. Because here's the bottom line. If that's what our soul wants us to go, there's no fighting what the soul wants. So what I surrender to whatever my soul wants, even though I do have a sense and I could be wrong. And, you know, I have been wrong before. Trust me on that. But I do have a sense that this is no longer about the journeying, the branching off into realities of power, realities of struggle, power plays, control issues.
Right, right.
Because I've experienced those branches.
Well, for you it isn't. See, that's
for me it isn't. Correct. Because when those power plays come up, instead of engaging in the power play, I'm immediately going into myself going, okay, what this is in you, Goldie. Now sit with it, and when it organically shifts, you're done. So it's again picking up the pieces instead of playing into the drama.
Exactly, and that's exciting for me because Me too. Yeah, but you know what I loved when they said, well, you may be gone for a million years, and you'd say, yeah, well, it's that time thing, you know. I was gone for a million years in 10 minutes.
Well, exactly, right?
The fastest
gun in the West. That's the whole.
Right. These
exactly,
are the wonderful miracles,
exactly.
You know.
It's like,
and also they're the wonderful riddles of life, you know. It's like what? It's like you know, it's that time thing, you know. how do you know you weren't gone for a million years in 10 minutes?
I mean.
We
don't. I don't. That's true.
I know.
That's right on. But here's what I do know.
Yeah.
I do know that I'm not afraid of that.
Yeah, and that's another shift in
neutrality.
You know, you're not interested in power plays anymore because you're just not. And, you know, there are people who really still play in them, and that's just what they're choosing. And you're also enjoying very much, which is interesting because power plays and, you know, there's a lot to be said about needing to control things. And when you're into a place of trust, you know, it doesn't surprise me that you're now into adventure because adventure
exactly.
is not about control. You know,
it's not about control.
No, it's
right.
about an open-ended experience. And,
well,
and,
I mean,
and, you know,
and look at the movies. You can really see it. I mean, it's so clear from Lord of the Rings to The Matrix to, you know, The Yawning Rabbit, River Chronicle. I mean, it doesn't matter where you go. The truth is, you know, it's so funny because I was talking to my boss and I go, at one point, I go, you know, up until I was 30, here's the point. I was afraid of so much, and I realized I was afraid of everything except getting arrested for selling cocaine, which God knows why I wasn't afraid of that, because I was afraid of everything else. And what's so interesting is, you know, and this is why I think it's so important that we track ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
In my tracking of myself, I mean, I really can see that I not only, it's just like we said, I'm not afraid of being alone. It's like I'm not afraid of going into the woods. And, you know, there was one day I was in the woods and I came back out and I was told there was an earthquake that happened in Maine. You know, it was a 4.5. And I've thought about that going, well, you know, shit, if I'm in the woods and there's an earthquake, you know, it would be an interesting place to be for an earthquake. You know, if the ground opens up and things start falling, you know, it's like you're going into the center of the earth, Goldie. I mean, that's just where, you know, I don't know if you'll end up in China or not. That maybe that's just a myth. But I can remember a day when I first started going to the woods, and I first started going to the woods when my mother died. And I can remember, you know, putting my back up against a tree, being afraid of, you know, oh, my God, all people, you know, harassing me, people wanting to beat me up, entities I didn't know about, snakes, bugs. I mean, you know, it was just, and it's like, God, I'm not afraid of any of that, you know. Even to the point when I had the experience of the spaceship, and I remember saying to myself, you're not going to get this chance again.
Mm-hmm.
Now shut up and get up on that spaceship. Don't, you know, you're scared. I was definitely afraid, definitely. You know, you start doing things where people can take you to other solar systems, so to speak.
Right.
You know, it can frighten you that you're going to lose your sense of, you know, power, to be quite honest. That's what it is, your sense of that you can control your environment.
Right.
But I'll tell you, the wisdom that comes, and this is what I was telling Ashley today, the wisdom that comes from facing those moments, you know, facing being chased by 13 cars, facing Scott, you know, as he was going through a drinking period after his father died and he was violent. Facing these things is where I know my strength to be. And not just my strength from a physical point of view, but the strength of the conviction of my own belief systems, which is why I can be so cocky about knowing the God route. You know,
mm-hmm.
How do I know that? Because I've faced enough things in my life that the wisdom we get when we face our fears is the wisdom of, it's the pieces of us that know these parts of us. It's about becoming whole again. Here it is. Okay, I just figured it out. Mm-hmm. Facing the fear is where the non-physical wisdom comes back into the physical. That's mm-hmm. what it is. It holds nuggets of wisdom that is based in the non-physical aspects of self. But we're not aware of that exponentially or experientially until we face our fears. But right in the fear is the blessing of that wisdom from the other side of the veil, so to speak. And once you start knowing yourself on both sides,
yeah,
there's really nothing to be, you understand that you don't need to be controlling, you need to be trusting.
Right, and to put that another way, which, you know, brings us to what you were talking about before, but all that to me says that the attractability to the great void will be a natural attraction as opposed to the attractability of the orchestrated white tunnel of light that when we pass that, you know, we're now all of a sudden, you know, it really shows me the difference of the great void, which is just, you know, there's no need for all the fanciness and the
complexity,
the attraction. Yeah, whereas the other place has, you know, these descriptions of life after death and, you know, the white tunnel and everybody's looking for you and all this great, you know, your loved ones are there. And it just sounds sort of like, oh, that just sounds like a fantasy or a fiction as opposed to the true great void of, like, presence. And it's
right.
Like, why would you be afraid of that? Why would you be afraid of that? You know,
we got to segue. We got to talk about Peggy Cain's work.
Right, but the thing about that is that there's a certain, you know, if you really do have a true attraction for non-control and adventure and trust, the great void will be the attraction as opposed to, you know, the
right.
bells and whistles, you know.
Well, that's exactly right, huh? See, there.
Right.
See, and that's why I say it's the lore of attraction, L-O-R-E.
Exactly.
Because what you're meant to, that, and to be quite honest, all of us are in this experience, I mean, literally in this universe, this experience of light, because
yeah.
it's in our soul's lore
to
understand it. And you know what that equates to? We all have darkness in us because part of light is dark.
Right.
Because one of the things hit me is that...
Well, the great void pretty much to me would be the true acceptance of the dark because, you know, and so therefore it's not just all, I need the light, you know.
Right.
You know, so, and I just think that, once again, there's no wrong placement because over and over again...
That's exactly, it can't be.
Right. You go where you need to go because of the lore of attraction. And
right. Exactly.
Do, right. So, but it is fun to track for me and you. I know to track.
Definitely. Definitely.
You know, where we are in that process.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Right.
Wholeheartedly.
Because it's becoming more apparent that you can track where you are in the process, you know.
Well, and in the tracking, you really can see, like, because it almost feels like there is this encouragement not to track. And I'm going, you know, because I get it. A lot of people tend to track with journaling, and that's awesome if you're a writer.
Right.
But I tend to track, which is funny, I tend to talk. So, like, I'll discuss things, and, of course, the wonderful thing is, you know, I've been doing a radio show for 6 years. I actually have tracked it verbally, you know, through archives.
Right.
But I do believe that in the tracking, besides just having the awareness, you know, to go back and read something of where you've come from, it almost allows the, at least this is my experience, the tracking is where I set the intention through the question, not even necessarily just through an intention, but by asking the question, you know, okay, so what's this subtle realm? What, you know, what is it to, because like I've said to Janine, you know, what am I not seeing? Like I'll see people in my field who will clearly be projecting their own stuff onto either me or someone else in a story, and they don't see it at all as self. I mean, it's just this amazing, you know, blind spot where they clearly don't see everything around them is exactly who they are. And I remember stating, with the horses wear, take those blinders off me. I want to see. Show it to me. What am I not seeing? And when, you know, it takes a level, see, this is true humility. It takes a level of humility to go, oh, okay, I'm still controlling here. You know, I'm still judging
back
here.
Here.
Well, exactly. And this is what I'm finding, it kind of comes back to the whole becoming our own best friend or our worst enemy. I no longer have judgments on myself when I track. I mean, I'm really completely okay. You know, I definitely lash out at people. I mean, I on Facebook, I've had fights with guests. I mean, you know, and when I come to my realization that it's like, hey, okay, I know why I did that. I'm happy to apologize and on the air, you know, and go, hey, you know, I call myself a raging rhinoceros, and I am a raging rhinoceros. But what's so funny is the dialogue inside my head, hands down, and I'm aware of this, is no longer things like this don't come out of my mouth. I don't say stuff like, you know, Goldie, what an idiot. Why did you do that? I don't say that about myself. I don't say, how could you be so stupid? These are just these are terms that I'm like, oh, did you know, wow, that one got away from you that time, Goldie. All right, I got your ass now. I got you on point, and I'm keeping an eye on that. And I look for the triggers, and I'm telling you, I look to walk into, like, I know there's spaces sometimes when I walk in, I'm going, okay, this is, I don't know what's coming up for me, but it's something. And, like, I'll get that, like, today, when I saw that reptilian eye thing, I literally thought to myself, are you going to post it, Goldie? You know, because, you know, there's a level of ridicule when you start, you know, going, there's reptilians out there. But, you know, and I was like, you know, another part of me said, well, of course you're going to post it for one reason, because you're afraid to. So go post it. Yeah. You got to see what's going to happen. You won't know until you post it. And, you know, it tends to be a lot of internet fear that I face. But I've also had it moments with Scott where it's like, are you going to pack up your shit and move out, Goldie? And it's like, well, you're afraid to. So guess what I did? I packed up my shit and moved out. You know, I do think it's good to balance this in real life, so to speak, as well as the etheric life, you know, the internet life. Because it can't just be the internet. If you're only facing fears on the internet, that's your mental body. The physical body also needs to go through these experiences in order to be genuinely moving up through the dimensions, collecting your pieces. Because it's not just mental pieces that have separated. There's physical aspects to us and emotional aspects, and they tend to be integrated through the physical world. And
Well, I love when people, you know, when you look at yourself or myself and you recognize that there's almost an exuberance to face the challenge because you know the benefit of it. Because,
yes.
Because every time you do, there's more liberation, there's more freedom, and, you know, how much freedom, I mean, I don't know because, you know, I'd like to think I know, but honestly, freedom is relative because, you know, it's kind of, quote, the sky's the limit. So I'm not measuring freedom here. I think that's impossible. I think that freedom and potentiality is endless and boundless. So, you know, I'm just saying, how about more free? You know, so every time I become, and I know this is true for you, that you become excited by recognizing that something is a challenge, and so you do it.
Absolutely.
And then you feel the benefit of it, and you're like, man, that's
Absolutely. Amazing.
And to me, that's when, you know, speaking of the wires that aren't up right now around New Jersey, you know, you start to feel a sense of freedom that because you've faced a challenge. And I, you know, I highly recommend that. You know, the littlest ones and the bigger ones, you know, they're posting something that's a little challenging, going, should I do that? And it's like, yeah. Go do that, you know, should I take that step or make that move or say yes to that event or no to that event given whatever the challenge would be, because maybe the challenge is to say yes or maybe the challenge is to say no. So, you know, you put yourself in that position and it's just, you know, it really is effective, and my word for tonight is productive.
Yes, Jimmy Dean, it's a productive day.
No, Daniel Boone.
Oh, Daniel Boone, I couldn't remember it. I went with the sausage guy.
I know.
But it's, see, that's because that's where we got to be in, you know, you got to be here. It's okay to be in the expanded, the multi-dimensions, but if you're going there without being present at home, you know, again, this is something I said to Ashley. I go, you know, if you're home, in your own house, owning your darkness, what I'm finding in my experience is there's really no room for an entity or a reptilian to own my darkness. And here's what I mean by owning my darkness. I will drive by places and I'll see, like, a bicycle, you know, leaning against a shed. And I'll say to myself, I'm going to steal that bike. And I'll plan stealing that bike. Now, I don't steal the bike. But I can watch myself have thoughts of stealing. I remember when I had that issue with my boss and she was cutting hours for me. I watched myself in my mind pistol whip her. I mean,
yeah.
there is a darkness about me that I am not trying to,
yeah,
to push to the curb and not be a part of me. Because what I am finding is if we own our darkness consciously, let it talk. This reminds me of A Beautiful Mind, the movie A Beautiful Mind. That part of me can talk all it wants. I'm not going to respond to it.
Yeah.
And inevitably, I assume if you don't respond to it, it stops talking. You know, it becomes bored because it simply doesn't have the influence that it had. But I'm not, you know, I'm not going, oh, my God, how could I think such a thought about stealing the
bike? Right,
who
right,
gives a
right.
Shit? I didn't steal it. I thought about stealing it. And, you know, I don't know what the hell's going on in mass consciousness or otherwise. And to be honest, though, I'm not telling you it's mass consciousness's thoughts. I have been a thief in my lifetime. I know how to steal. I'm quite capable of it. So I'm not ashamed of it either. Why? Because it's there. So if it's
right,
there,
right,
then
right.
Let's acknowledge that it's there and stop
and
dancing the dance that it's not there.
We know a wonderful little thief, don't we, Sean?
Well, of course. Who happened to win a really big race. So I can't
the
wait to
ultimate
talk about
race.
That. Well, right. So, you know, it's like, but I'll tell you, I really am clear that like I was noticing today, I surprised Scott with because Scott's roof is shot. Sandy kicked his roof's ass, not structurally, just from the shingles point of view.
Right.
So he's pretty upset that this is going to be this has the potential of being up to $10,000 in cost. We're hoping it's not that much, but it's going to be out of pocket cost for him and or whatever. He's stressed about it, so. I surprised him today, and I brought home some Subway sandwiches, and it was so funny because, I kept it. If I hand him the sandwich in his computer room when we're upstairs, we eat by our computers. But I was like, no, I wanted to be with him. I hadn't seen him all day, and I just came home from Alana and Ashley, and I felt great, and I knew he didn't. So I put him out on the kitchen on the dining room table, and it's fine. We're eating these sandwiches. And we don't say a word to each other. And I really was just so clear that it was like, we don't have to talk out loud, you know. Because then at one point I just kind of said to me, I said to him, you know, did you go see your mom today? And he goes, yep. Then there would be silence for a good, 15 minutes. You know, I'm eating my sandwich, he's eating his. And I can't explain it. I can just tell you that I was so clear that in our silence, we were communicating.
Yeah.
And for the rest of the day, Scott, I could tell he had a little buoyancy going on. I mean, he did. He was affected by it because for Scott, you can't, like I'm used to, the way I used to give gifts, so to speak, was I would glom onto him. Let me touch your body and make you feel better. You know, where this was really just, it's just a think, just a think. And I stand back, and the truth is, I am noticing hands down that I am more comfortable. This is another thing I'm getting from tracking myself. I am more comfortable in my own silence. And that is very, very new to me. I used to need something audio going on in my head. Where now I'm often in the woods, in the backyard while Scott's doing his, telescope stuff. In the car, no longer putting on the radio or my MP3 player all the time. I'm just driving. It just seems like in the compression, there's clearly a lot going on in all of our spaces. And what I find is whatever's going on, I'm not resistant to it. You know, it's whatever's going on, whether it's, not getting a job, going into the Y, hooking up with my dad, not hooking up, it's whatever. I'm just accepting to it. And that's a game changer. It's October, or it's almost November. And I feel the most prepared I've ever felt for the complete unknowingness of what's going to happen next And yet, I've never had so much confidence that I can handle what I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but there it is.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because tracking or awareness, you can call it what, you know, to me they're the same, but they're, you know, tracking is a good word because I think it gives people a idea of, like, you can be reflective about your tracking, you can be present in the tracking, you can, but right now, what I'm noticing for myself, what you said about, you know, how you're just noticing what's happening and it's, you're kind of going with it, because I noticed with this Hurricane Sandy, you know, it was Monday, the dark came, the wind started picking up. You know, I wasn't really thinking anything. I mean, I was sitting on the couch. We had a fire going.
I was
going.
Loving it, to be honest. I love the storms.
We had a fire going. And these are noticeable things about myself that I can't really pinpoint how this has been happening, but it is happening.
Okay.
You know, I'm a big nature lover, but my brother and Zach went out into the dark, and my brother came in and he said to me, I really have some bad news for you. And, you know, I didn't panic at all. I just...
No, but what was the first thing your mind thought, just out of curiosity? What did you think when he said that?
I really didn't know what to think. Really didn't, because I'm thinking, well, what could be so bad?
I'm thinking the blue heron is dead or something.
Right. I didn't really think anything. But, I was... So, and he didn't give me too much time to even kind of go there because, you know, but I kind of couldn't come up with anything even in that millisecond because I was like, well, what could be so bad? I mean, okay, so he goes, the cedar tree's down, the big cedar's down, the big pine's down. And, you know, he probably thought, and I really think he thought this, you know, and that's lovely, but because I'm such a nature lover, I think he thought that I was going to be very upset about it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. Nice. Because I was just, it's sort of like, I don't know, it's just like, well, it's life. And it's,
right.
It was their choice, you know, and I don't have any, I was neutral. I really was neutral. And that
I believe
no. I know, and it was a noticing. And
nice.
I literally, it even, like, I noticed it about myself. I was like, I was very, and here's another thing, speaking of power struggles and all that kind of stuff, or the need to be right or the need to be wrong, or whatever, I didn't even comment and make, like, oh, my God, that's not, I just let it go. Like, I didn't have to make him feel... You know, I wasn't like, Jeff, I don't really care. You know, I didn't say any of those things. I just
knew.
You
didn't even defend it.
I just knew inside
that's
me.
That's really neutral. Yeah.
I know. It was very neutral, and I noticed it. And so when you were just talking about what you were just talking about in that process, I could tell you that, you know, the storm puts you in a position of, you know, and it's not like you have to ask yourself, well, are you going to be accepting or not? I mean, you either
exactly.
are or you aren't.
Exactly.
You either are or you aren't. But I noticed that I just went with it and that,
right.
okay. And I didn't think, will the trees fall or won't they? I wasn't thinking, but, you know, they did. And, okay.
Right.
And so there's just this, there is this, that is a noticing if people want to make noticings about themselves, about how accepting and how are they letting things happen and are they fighting them or are they thinking they're wrong or that shouldn't have been or I don't know, you know, I mean, these are
no,
good.
No, I got to segue because I got to say,
yeah, go ahead.
You set it up perfectly.
Yeah.
And I heard this somewhere today, but for the life of me, I don't remember where I heard it, but it was brilliant. So, okay, this is when we find ourselves in a situation where, and we've all been there, where our emotions are basically like, I don't want to be here. I don't like the way
right,
I'm feeling.
Right.
What they basically said was, you know, we get there very organically, right? We don't plan to get, you don't kind of, you know, I mean, some of us do. I'll be honest, there are some things I jump into that hot fire. I know I'm jumping in, so
right.
be it. But most of the stuff, you know, loneliness came to me. I didn't seek it. It came
to me. Right.
And what they said was, so you can't get out of it forcefully. You can't move through that energy. You have to do it in the same acceptance that it came to you. In other words, it can't. The mind will go, and we've all been there where, you know, we know that the truth is, okay, we got to sit with our uncomfortableness until it transmutes into a breakthrough. And all of us have basically been in the space where, well, fuck it, man. I've been sitting here for 3 months. It's not breaking through. And the truth is, well, then you're not it's not time. You know, like there's no rationalization. Here's the bottom line. When it's time, it will happen. And the only thing I would say is, if after a certain point in time you're not getting the breakthroughs, you're genuinely not fully sitting in it. There's a piece of you that keeps a foot outside of it going, but I want it to be over. But
right.
You can't have that foot on the outside. In other words, because it's the mind will go, come on, we can get you out of here. But getting us out through the mind, you don't get the breakthrough. And what does that mean? It means ultimately the soul is going to set up another situation where you're going to feel this. If you want to transcend it, total acceptance of the situation until it just doesn't feel resistant, until you don't feel resistance anymore. And, you know, this is...
That's really good, because there's so many times if things that used to, you know, you can look back and go, oh, my God, that made me so crazy, and I thought I could never survive that. And then you... Then, you know, years later, you know, whether that was like, I remember in my marriage when, you know, I heard my husband was having an affair, and I literally didn't think, it was so, like, awful for me, you know, but think about that.
Yeah.
Because, no, but here's the thing, why isn't that awful now? I know, right. It just isn't, because it just isn't. So what was going on then? That's not going on now, that why it was awful then and now it's not now, because you would say, well, you're Janine, right? So why was the Janine then almost thinking she couldn't bear it and I couldn't survive it? And now I can't even, that's so removed and gone and I don't even know. So these are great like awarenesses to that moment when you know, there is this palpable sensation of something has you, and it's like, well, what is that that has me, that's causing me this absolute, I can't handle this situation, when in fact, you know, you might want to fast forward, you know, Janine's story, and she go, and you absolutely can't even, you have no idea of that person who literally couldn't handle it, because I'm not her anymore, I'm just not.
Right.
So where'd that go? Or you saying loneliness found you and loneliness was horrible, but then you're going, but it just doesn't exist anymore for me. And you're
well,
like,
it exists, but not for now. I have to have time by myself.
right. Or the silence is not.
Silence is
a friend. You know, it's a.
Right.
It's a necessity.
Totally.
You know,
it
whereas
is.
Silence before was, you know, you're like, yeah, you know,
my worst enemy.
Yeah, so it's just so, yeah. I think these are just those kinds of comparisons where you can get, and you know, I call them, and Goldie knows this, I call these reference points, because you literally can apply these to moments in your life where it becomes very useful to go, this is a reference point, you know, and then you can use that later and go, wow, you know, remember that reference point? I'm different, and you'll notice how different you are. And by the way, meeting the challenge is the way through it. It really is.
Absolutely.
I didn't paralyze myself. I didn't stop when I was thinking I couldn't make it. I kept moving through it. You know, I didn't go underground. I didn't start drugging and medicating myself. I didn't lose myself in some obsession or addiction. I faced it. And I am completely different now without any of those fears or phobias because I went through it. So, you know, these are the moments when, like, you know,
the transmutation, the transformation, the alchemy, when all the parts come together, you know, whatever you want to call it.
I call it the integration. Definitely.
So those are just places that, like, you know, you activated my memories and all these things where, you know, they
well,
are.
From
they're
a tracking point of view, but see,
from
that's
a tracking
awesome.
Point of view. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because
yeah.
you really can't see, you know, because I was talking to somebody, you know, my memory's shot. It's so wonderful. I know what I need to know when I need to know it, but boy, don't ask me, you know, what I had for dinner last night.
Yeah.
You know, there are people, I can remember people using this line to me. The hand you're dealt is the hand you're dealt.
Right.
And there are actually people that believe, you know, that, you know, if they were dealt a situation where they grew up and, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of communication going on in their family and there wasn't a lot of emotional openness, you know, so now they're energetically, you know, subscribed to, you know, being closed off from emotional relationships. And, like, that's their lot in life. There's nothing to do about that. It's like, that's ludicrous.
Yeah, that is ludicrous.
Because here's the bottom line. It takes work. It takes effort. But if you want to change the energetic organization of how you perceive the world and how the world perceives you, which
mm-hmm.
is ultimately, if you want to become peaceful, relaxed, loving, compassionate, as well as if you want to become, you know, dark and angry and bitter, you can pick and choose anything you want, and create that for yourself. You know, that is at the very least what I want people to know, and it's why I kind of scream from the rooftops. You know, I was a drug addict for 12 years. You know, this is. I didn't have a silver spoon stuck up my ass, you know, my whole life.
Right.
I've been to some dark spaces, and coming out of it is simply an understanding of there's a saying, I think David Icke says this saying, you're as sick as your secrets.
And, I like that.
Yeah, transparency. I'll tell you, my father met Anya's parents, and
right.
we went over there for a few hours. He was so transparent. When we left the house, I mean, I literally was like, wow, Dad, you know, you just he opened up about his finances, about his political points of view. Blessed be, he didn't open up sexually. I was grateful for that. But in the world that I'm in at Anya's and Tahana's, they're very wealthy. They live in a very wealthy town. So do we, but my father was very open about being, you know, middle class, and you know, how he made it by in the life was really about us, you know, scrimping and saving and not spending more than we had. And I have no shame in that. I mean, shit, I talk about that all the time. But I was like, I don't think they're used to people being that transparent. And he goes, well, I'm cut from a different stone. He goes, because I'm not ashamed of what I have and what I don't have.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you, that statement went right through me, and I went, no wonder why I'm on the air doing the same thing, because I'm not ashamed about what I don't have or have either.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
there's nothing more beautiful than authenticity, you know, and there's nothing more
beautiful than, I mean,
I love your dad for that. You know, there's just something so, like you said, transparent, but completely authentic.
Absolutely.
You know?
We're going to have him on the show, too. I want to
yeah.
have him on the show. He's got wisdom and a great energy, and he's the sponsor. He's allowed to come on.
Definitely.
Well, sweetheart, we made the 2 hours, babe.
That's amazing.
You're amazing.
On Halloween,
after
Halloween. Hurricane in New Jersey.
You're amazing. And we have Dennis and Golden Jewel and Simon. You guys lasted with us. All the other guests couldn't handle our energy.
And I wasn't on the chat room because I'm just on the phone tonight.
Well, because she doesn't have electricity, right?
And, yeah, or
under,
internet or any of that sort of thing.
She's not under heat either.
Right.
You were awesome tonight, Janine.
Thank you.
You were awesome. So
Thank you, everybody.
Know where they can find you and your book.
Sure. I have a website. Well, I have a couple, but let's see. jlkimmel.com. Also springtreepress.com. And I'm on Facebook. You can, if you go on Goldie's page and just look under her friends, you'll see me. And I have a new book out, The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle. It's a really great story. And there's a lot of what we talk about in there. It's told in a really good story. So thanks, Goldie.
Oh, my pleasure. And, well, basically, normally it's Monday nights. You know, when we do a special show, we'll always announce it. But anotherrealityshow.com is the homepage. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And, you know, for the next 4 days, just know that the veil is thinner. It is where Halloween originates from. And so, you know, loved ones on the other side can absolutely come closer. Mm-hmm. But as well as, you know, you might look at somebody and they could, you know, shapeshift in front of you. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, at the very least, you know, it's not about being frightened. It's all about being aware. You know, the gift and the level to move forward is all about just taking it into awareness, because it's best to know than to not know. So thank you guys for being here. I love you, Janine.
I love you too.
I'll talk to you tomorrow. You know, keep our hawk eye on you and keep sending you lots of good love and warmth. And
thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. So
right.
You guys have a good night. Yeah, and we'll talk
good
to everybody
soon. Good night from
New
Jersey.
Yeah, thank you, baby.
Bye.
I love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had this
time together.